worry about having to work around Irish Road this morning out by Langhorne. Fog lights are on up on Afton Mountain in WCHV traffic, brought to you by SVOE, your Canon document technology partner for Charlottesville and Central Virginia.
The CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast: rain today, heavy at times this afternoon and evening, and localized flooding will be possible. High temperatures today around 50 degrees. Heavy rain will taper after midnight with lows in the mid-40s. Showers end Friday morning and will be followed by a partly cloudy, windy afternoon. Highs Friday in the lower 50s. I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and AM 1260 WCHV.
Thank you, Travis. WCHV time is 8:07. Travis's forecast brought to you by Rooterman to the rescue. Affordable housing continues to be a campaign issue, and maybe that's why it never seems to ever get better, but the fact's not in evidence yet. It just seems to be one of those things that the more it becomes a campaign issue, the further away from actually seemingly to get it to a resolution we are. And it came up again yesterday, discussion points in the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors meeting, reporting back to us from the Free Enterprise Forum, director of the Free Enterprise Forum, Neil Williamson, freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com is where you find them online. Good to see you, Neil. How are you again?
Doing great, Joe. How are you?
Oh, great. Happy New Year. I guess, you know, this is your first visit of the New Year. So talk a little bit about what was discussed last night or yesterday afternoon with the board and you know, what was heard regarding affordable housing. I know senior living came up in it as well.
It did. The on the agenda yesterday was an update for the new housing, affordable housing policy, which is being developed by Dr. Stacy Pethia, who's the senior planner for housing in Albemarle County. You may remember that name. She was in charge of housing in Charlottesville prior to taking the Albemarle job.
Mm-hmm.
They're about halfway through. They've done their public engagement piece. The Free Enterprise Forum was a part of that. They are working with stakeholders now, and they are drafting concepts to move forward, and this was really an update of where they are. They plan to deliver a policy to be debated in August or September.
What are some of the key points that they're looking at? I mean, I still wonder, and we just had Frank Squilacci up from Network to Work, and of course that all begins with Ridge Schuyler's seminal work, Declaration of Independence is what he called the report, the Orange Dot Project that identified, I think when you add Albemarle County and Charlottesville together, one out of every six people struggles to find enough work to pay the basic subsistence in this area. How do we get more people building homes in that income level? If that's, it seems like that's as simple as it can be. I tend to oversimplify. So help me grasp where they are and what they're discussing.
Well, first and foremost, the regional housing study showed that 30%, using a benchmark of 30% of family income being the highest you should be using to pay mm-hmm. for housing, Albemarle found 20% of homeowners and 30% of renters were paying over that.
Wow.
And that's alarming. But the thing that I really took away from the regional housing summit that was last spring, it was something that Piedmont Housing Alliance Executive Director Sunshine Mathon said. He said, how do we fix it? He goes, all kinds of houses at all kinds of prices at all kinds of places.
Well,
it seems like a reasonable thing.
Yeah. So how do you encourage that as a municipal body? Because I've talked to my friends at Habitat, and they'll tell me, you know, it's $20,000-$30,000 before you even put a shovel into the ground.
Absolutely true. And there's the work that Frank and Ridge are doing are also helping, because you can work both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
You increase the income, all of a sudden the housing becomes more affordable
mm-hmm.
because you can afford the housing. There is no one silver bullet, but someone said at this meeting, there's a silver buckshot. So there's a lot of options out there to work toward. One item that the land trust is doing, take the land out of the equation. So the land trust holds the land, and the improvement is owned by the homeowner with a 99-year lease. That changes the economics.
So you're talking about land that currently isn't what you would consider in the development zone. Is that where I'm getting of that, Neil?
Well, it could be in the development zone or out of the development zone. What if we expanded the development area? That's one option. Would that increase supply? It certainly would increase supply of lots. What if we allowed duplexes and triplexes in certain neighborhoods where we want to focus development? This really gets slammed with the idea of you're going to outlaw single-family housing. No, you're not outlawing single-family. You're allowing duplexes and triplexes.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in your neighborhood, for instance, how would that change your neighborhood? Would it be dramatic if all of a sudden a few of the houses converted over so that there were two families living there? Well, there's an increased burden on the schools. But based on my discussions, there will be plenty of water to service that increase mm-hmm. in density. And we have to say, what is it we want to do? I also think we have to stop saying we must build only in one price segment. The reality is, if there isn't high-end product, the high-end buyer buys low-end product and puts the money into it improves it to the point where people start calling that it's gentrification.
Right. Well, I where I live, and I don't know if you're speaking metaphorically, but in Fry Spring, a lot of duplexes. I fought a battle against those who wanted to ban rental properties in general in Fry Spring. And then you turn up Cherry Avenue and you head towards like Tonsler and the Johnson Village area, and you see those. I really can't call them anything else but workforce housing. They're the typically Cherry Avenue-esque cinder block boxes that were inexpensive to build, but were there. I mean, it's our own little mini Levittown through that area. But nobody's building that kind of price point, as Sunshine brings up. Nobody's building at the price point where somebody who's making, $40,000 or $50,000 a year can afford it.
Well, and why is that? Well, what are the regulatory costs involved and what are the land costs involved? So we talk about green taping projects, create projects that that move through faster. Time is money. We can also look at local tax increment financing. What if you have some land in the development area or just outside the development area and becomes in the development area, and you allow what you're paying in taxes today to continue to be paid, and for 30 years you allow that's the level you pay, and you put the improvements on it and you don't pay taxes on the improvements, well, that lowers your cost of housing, and the locality is still receiving revenue. There are options out there, but they require thought, mm-hmm. and I applaud Albemarle's doing this process in a thoughtful way, but every now and again people grab out at things that are just ridiculous, and the idea that that the locality would dictate when something gets built is not appropriate for any locality in the state of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't the right thing, or to demand that they see who is in the occupancy. Really, is that, don't you buy a property and have property rights and you can live there because you bought it?
Yeah, legally they put themselves in a bind, and I think that's part of where we wind up with just fees and fines rather than actual plans. Neil, can I hang on to you for a minute?
You bet.
All right, director of the Free Enterprise Forum here in Charlottesville, freeenterpriseforum.org or freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com.
We talk with you, not at you.
These discussions I've had with him have been enlightening.
All day, every day on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Everyone knows that you can buy your gold and silver gifts at Jefferson Coin, but you can also sell your old and broken gold and sterling silver for cash. Extra cash will help with your holiday shopping. Gather up the gold jewelry that you never wear, get the sterling silver that the kids don't want and you don't want to polish, and bring it to Jefferson Coin. We will give you the cash for your gold and silver. Jefferson Coin, Route 29 North and Rio Road, next to CVS. Call us at 979-COIN or go to jcsgold.com.
WCHV time is 8:15. Time to go on point with Mac McDonald. Good morning, Brother Mac. How are you doing, sir?
Joe, I'm doing good. And by the way, my first email to you didn't go through. I think I just sent it and it looked like it went through.
Ah, okay.
So I got a couple of
I will get on that post-toasties.
I know, sorry. I will take my time because I wanted to tell the Braxton Key story, which he talked about last night in the postgame, and it was really good. Presented by Batteries Plus next to the Cavalier Diner on Emmett Street. Log on to thebatteriesplus.com and trust the plus for all your battery needs. It was a stat line that irritated Braxton Key like a hangnail. Better yet, trying to learn the game with a cast on his wrist, well, that didn't go too well either. A week ago, Sunday, the Alabama transfer and now Virginia team leader, Braxton Key, put up 16 shots against Wake Forest. He made two. He was 0 for 4 from 3. And all that mess came in 42 minutes. Like a golfer posting a career-high round, Braxton couldn't stand it. So as the team was landing from Winston-Salem and boarding the bus from the airport, he texted his girlfriend and told her, "Dinner is going to have to wait. Meet me at the gym." He needed a rebounder. Late into the 90-minute session, Key's girlfriend was becoming impatient. But Braxton told her, "Hey, when I get this right, we will be done."
When I was shooting, put my headphones on, had my girlfriend rebound for me, and I was just shooting. So, and she was rebounding for me. She's like, "How much longer?" And I was like, "Until I can make enough." So, I'm not worried about stats or what my percentages are or anything like that. I mean, I know I can shoot the ball. I know I'm capable. I mean, just taking it one day at a time.
Golfers go to the practice range to get things right when they don't have a good day. Well, basketball players go to the gym. And late on that Sunday, with no supervision, Key kept firing. Something clicked. The following Tuesday against Florida State, Braxton scored 13, pulled down 9 boards in 37 minutes, and delivered 4 clutch free throws in the final 3. It turned into an upset, and Braxton was beginning to feel it again. A 7-day stretch of practice, plenty of defense, shooting drills. Coach Bennett's practice days have a tendency to pay off, and they did for Braxton. With only 8 made threes on the year before last night, and Clemson making a push with an 18-5 run, Key and the Cavs solved the Tigers' matchup zone. You got to shoot from the outside. Braxton hit 2 threes, then a jumper in the lane, and a couple of free throws to stop the Clemson comeback. With a couple of smiles and the sound of hard work does pay off in his voice, the Virginia senior told the notebooks that when the leadership changed after Ty Guy and DeAndre left, he felt there was a standard he needed to uphold wearing the orange and blue.
Jack, Dre, Kyle, Ty, just to see how they left it. I mean, they left it with very high standard, and I'm just trying to keep it up to where they left it and go from there.
For this team with 9 games left, Joe, in the regular season, Braxton Key is going to be certainly needed, and a key, you know, not to use a pun, but he is going to be a key. As long as his girlfriend is patient now, understanding, there are going to be nights that he might be a little late getting home from the office, which we all do. You know,
I know. That's what you need.
You push the relationship.
That's right. That's why it's called a relationship.
Exactly. So you got to meet. You got to meet me both ways, and I'm sure Braxton's adding a couple of roses in that little bouquet, which is coming up in a week or so. So, yeah, all right, buddy. Hey, have a good Thursday. We get ready for the weekend. Big basketball weekend, too, as we look at things. So we will touch base with you tomorrow morning, bright and early. I promise.
We will be here, Mac. Thank you, sir. WCHV time is 8:19.
What's in store this week at your local Staples?
The campaign kickoff you've been waiting for.
Give your candidate or your business a kickstart with custom print products from Staples.
And right now at Staples, save 25% when you order 2 or more signs, posters, or banners. Some products are available same day when you order by 2 p.m.
Give your campaign a jump start with help from Staples.
Where there's a whole lot more in store.
Ends 2/29/20. Must order 2 or more of same item for discounts. See store or staples.com/print25 for full details.
The CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast. Rain today, heavy at times this afternoon and evening, and localized flooding will be possible. High temperatures today around 50 degrees. Heavy rain will taper after midnight with lows in the mid-40s. Showers end Friday morning and will be followed by a partly cloudy, windy afternoon. Highs Friday in the lower 50s. I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and AM 1260 WCHV.
Thank you, Travis. WCHV time is 8:20 and it is 44 degrees, drizzling lightly here on the Automated Office System Studios. Travis's forecast brought to you by Rooterman to the rescue. Roadways around the area, taking a look as we go north and southbound 2964. No issues right now to report. And actually, the volume is pretty good, too, even as you do the Seminole Trail Corridor, Lewis and Clark Drive down that way, a little, you know, through the lights. Airport Road, Earliesville Road, a little slow as you get down towards the Dickerson Rotary. There in WCHV traffic, brought to you by SVOE. In Charlottesville at 2401 Hydraulic Road, across from the shops at Stonefield. Coming up in the news at 8:30, plenty of doings. Larry Sabato is holding an event tonight. We'll tell you about that. Also weighs in on the State of the Union address, murder charges in Louisa, no brewery in Earliesville, all that coming up for you in the news.
This report is sponsored by the Ad Council. When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers, but that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same. For more info about adoption, visit adoptuskids.org.
There's always news impacting you in Central Virginia.
WCHV time 5.
And there's always been WCHV to make sure you know about it.
9 inches.
News, weather, and traffic. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
WCHV time 8:21.
If you're in the game, then the stroke's the word.
WCHV visiting with Neil Williamson on the Joe Thomas in the Morning program. Neil Williamson, director of the Free Enterprise Forum. We're talking about yesterday, not just yesterday's Board of Supervisors meeting, but in abstract, we were talking about form-based code at Monday's Charlottesville City Council meeting, and I think that plays a role to a degree into it. But let's circle back to what we were talking about just before we went to break, which was somehow, you know, the legalities and what a municipal government is allowed to do by law. Often leads us to a place where they really have no choice but to just put in fines or fees, and then the builders wind up just paying the fee rather than building the affordable housing into their project. Do we need to, you know, get Adam Smith in here and maybe open it up to smaller builders who would do this? What opens up the prospect for lower income housing, lower cost housing being built?
Well, I got to push back a little bit on that, Joe. Builders are building what people want. And the reality is, there was a project, and knowing that the Free Enterprise Forum doesn't endorse projects.
Right. No,
but there was a project on Ryle Road, 999 Ryle Road, that was proposing increased density, right on the transit line, right where the growth plan says to have it. And the residents came out and said, we don't want this at all. You've got to scale it back. And they scaled it back some, and they got past the Planning Commission. At yesterday's meeting, two residents got up and said, we don't want this density in our front yard. We don't want it here. This is not where we want density. Well, the reality is, you got to stand up and say, look, this is where we have services. This is where density belongs. I remember a few years back when a new development had come in, then the phase two was being developed, and they were proposing townhouses. And a resident actually said in a meeting, well, we need to have gates so that those people don't come into our part of the neighborhood.
Oh, when that rears its ugly head, that happened down in the north downtown area. Somebody wanted to, by right, build some density, you know, which generally meant some apartments, and people rose up against that as well. In there,
you're going to see that again coming forward. The Wetzel property is going to be coming forward in the next, you know, month or two. That's right there at the corner of the Parkway and the Park Street, and okay. it's going to be a call against apartments, and that they don't need them and they don't fit the neighborhood fabric. And the question is, what gets in the way of affordable housing? We get in the way of affordable housing.
Yeah,
you know, back at the Regional Housing Summit, the chief economist for the Virginia Realtors, Lisa Sternovan, called out Charlottesville and Albemarle County and other localities. And here's what she said. There are communities that are not approving enough housing to keep up with demand.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of them.
Wow.
That's a pretty strong thing for a statewide person to say.
We saw this here not far from the radio station, front page Daily Progress News, when the project leaked that there was going to be apartments replacing the empty shopping center, mostly empty shopping center here by Zan Road. And some of the comments I saw were along some of the most befuddling lines. Some of them went the route of, why are you rewarding, you know, business owners with, you know, all these customers? And then the other part is the schools can't handle the overloaded schools anyway, and you know, all those things. And that's why I led in with the idea, as long as it's a great campaign speech to say we're for affordable housing, I don't know if it's ever actually going to get addressed, because why would you want to lose a campaign platform plank?
Right. Well, the idea of more housing, simply more housing, is really the campaign plank. More housing at all price points, in all places, for all people.
Yep. So take us, because I the more I read about form-based code, the more I'm puzzled by it. Because I'm not sure where I come down on the idea of form-based code. And this came up in Charlottesville City Council discussions, and they voted to send it back for further review and not move anywhere on it. But it seems like that's the kind of thing that says, listen, as long as the building looks this way, you can put whatever you want into it. I'm sure that's overly simplified, but it takes away the whole, is this a commercial property or residential property, or can it, how do we get it to be both in some cases, I guess, is some of the discussion. Am I getting it?
You're getting it. The idea, there are still use overlays inside the form-based code, so it's not completely ignored, but the primary concern of form-based code is how the building relates to the street and relates to the people on the street. In the Free Enterprise Forum is in favor of form-based codes, but there's a couple of caveats. Number one, it needs to be an optional overlay. That way, if you want to do that with your property, do it. Two, you need to make it attractive as a locality for somebody to do it. Columbia Pike did this up in Arlington. They've had 13 major projects go through. 12 went through under the form-based code. I think that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And third, you need to establish success metrics. What is it going to look like? So what the idea is that you have this form-based code, and what is going to be a success? You can, if you make it an optional overlay in the state of Virginia, you can mandate affordable housing be a part of it. If you make it attractive by way of increasing density, maybe increasing height, you can make it work on paper. Once you make the pencil out, then all of a sudden you make a project viable. There's no reason to build this pretty SimCity idea if it's not economically viable.
And I guess that's been the part. Give me a feel. You're in both meetings. Do the counselors and or the supervisors get it? Are they getting good counsel from the planning commissioners or the zoning commissioners?
I would suggest that the Albemarle process is moving forward a little more smoothly than Charlottesville. Charlottesville is asking all the right questions. It's just taking a lot longer, and they had a consultant that's now done with their work, so they're no longer coming to meetings. Whereas Albemarle did this by upping their staff knowledge and did it in-house. It's taking a little bit longer, but it seems to be a process that's working. I think at 30,000 feet, the counselors and the board members understand it. But when you get into the details, it's really very confusing.
Well, yeah, it sounds like, you know, zoning is much more predictable. I know what I can build on this lot because it's zoned this. I know what I can build here because it's zoned the other thing. Sort of having that ambiguity really, I guess, you know, is tough for a business to operate in there.
Well, the form-based code actually provides more predictability. It just requires you to do all that work up front. So the ARB will weigh in and say, here's what you need to do in terms of form and design patterns, and then you don't have to go through ARB review. So it makes the process smoother, and you do it by right, and it makes the process smoother and faster. And you know what that does? It makes it more affordable.
Shocked I am. Again, freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. Keep reading. Always great stuff. Neil, thank you so much for taking some time out with us this morning.
Always good to be with you, Jeff.
Did you know that your computer doubles as a radio? Click to listen at WCHV.com.
Rain today, heavy at times this afternoon and evening, and localized flooding will be possible. High temperatures today around 50 degrees.
It's 44 degrees here at the Automated Office System Studios at 8:30. And from the WCHV and CBS 19 newsrooms, this is Local News First. I'm Joe Thomas in the morning.
A Louisa County teen accused of murdering an elderly neighbor and shooting his wife will be tried as an adult. The shooting happened on November 12th on South Spotswood Trail in Louisa.
Despite multiple instances where all members of the House gallery rose to their feet in honor of parts of the President's State of the Union address, Larry Sabato from UVA's Center for Politics focuses instead on